Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, here we go. Headlines, Tuesday, 5 o'clock, right here on 950 KJR. Brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Who was on crack?
Lots of stuff to get to and talk about. First of all, Jeff Bezos is stepping down as the Amazon CEO later this year. I bring that up because the guy taking his spot as the new CEO, his name is Andy Jassy. He is part of the Kraken ownership group as a minority owner. And by the way, Bezos is going to need something to do, so maybe he'll buy a basketball team.
That sounds like a great idea.
I'm on board if he's on board.
If I had a beer with him, I said, this is exactly how you should spend your next $2 billion, Jeff. The Jaguars have hired former Hawks offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer as their passing game coordinator, and another former Seahawks coach getting a job today. Saints hiring Chris Richard as their new secondary coach.
I like it. NBA news. Reports say the league is working on a March 7th date for the All-Star Game in Atlanta. I believe it's now State Farm Arena. It used to be Phillips, now State Farm, I think. That would also include a skills competition the same day. So no All-Star weekend, just one big All-Star day.
Tokyo's Olympic Committee president says the games will go on no matter what the pandemic situation is this summer.
Okay. Well, I guess that pretty much ends that conversation then. College basketball, number 2 Baylor at number 6 Texas halftime. Baylor up 41-34. Number 17 West Virginia at Iowa State. Mountaineers lead the Cyclones at half 42-31. Joining us right now on the radio program, the executive director of the WIAA. And I got to be honest with you, nice guy, Mick Hoffman. Really good guy, good dude, nice guy. Glad he's running the show. I'm getting sick and tired of talking to him about non-sports stuff. I want to talk about football and basketball and baseball games and golf and track and field and softball and all that other stuff. But hopefully we're getting closer to all that. Mick Hoffman with us. Mick, let's talk about that, man. Give us kind of the state of the union regarding the WIAA right now. How close are we to starting to get back to kids competing on the field and not just talking about getting back on the field?
Hey, thanks. With the new metrics that just came out, having to pass 3 out of 4, we have 8 of our counties in phase 2, which actually allows them to compete in everything except for wrestling, basketball, competitive cheer and dance. So we actually have it starting this week. Low-risk sports, everybody's able to do that. So cross-country, golf, tennis, et cetera.
Mick, what type of information have you gotten from the other, 40-some states that pretty much just powered through and played high school sports through this whole thing as far as the rate of transmission found during these high school activities?
Yeah, you know, the statistics that we've seen in the conversations I've had is transmission during sport is extremely low. Hmm. What they're finding is kids who did test positive, the ones that have been able to contact trace almost always go back to some type of social interaction away from play.
Right. Which is the conversation that we had a few months ago, right? When you came on the air with us, we talked about that. We said, hey, look, people assume that the kids are better off not playing sports. Are they? Because if they're not playing sports, they're not practicing, they're out doing other things, they're hanging around each other. And you're telling us that you think now, after a few months of looking at this data, that you want to keep the transmission rates down? It's actually better to have the kids participating in athletics.
Yeah, you know, I would say there's a new report came out yesterday from the National Federation of High Schools in partnership with the University of Wisconsin that showed there is some transmission in play that they were able to trace. I think there's 152,000 some students that they got information about. So there is some transmission. So again, it always goes back to what's our risk threshold.
Yeah.
And the other side of it is in a lot of those states that they played in their community, COVID's out of control. So what the report essentially is saying is the transmission in the community is directly related to what you see as transmission through sport. Got it.
Mick, I tweeted out today that I don't think I've ever been more excited to go to a high school football game in my life than I am this year, but I need to know how and when I'm going to be able to do that, and who says when I'm able to do that.
Yeah, so again, you know, we're under the guidelines of the state, the governor's office and Department of Health. Right now, the guidelines we're operating under is for outdoor activities. It's 25% capacity or 200 people total, whichever is less. And so in a large stadium, you know, we can still only have 200, and that includes the participants. We've been in an ongoing dialogue with both those agencies, and they have agreed to continue to review that. So we're hoping that you know, we can at least get parents into the stands to watch their kids play.
So you're telling me that if you've got, you know, 100-plus kids for two football teams, coaches, trainers, all that stuff, that whatever's left over, that's how – I mean, these kids are not in the stands. They're 50, 75, 100 feet away from people that have nothing to do with what's happening on the field of play. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm no expert, Mick, but that sounds a little ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it's frustrating to be the middle person in the translation of it, I will tell you that. But again, you know, so it's – the good part is we got kids back on the fields. Now the next step is keep them healthy and get people in the stands.
What's the plan for streaming? Is that an individual school situation, or do you have some jurisdiction over some sort of streaming for these high school games?
No, it is up to the schools for their regular season. We have a really good partner in Eli Sports Network that is working with schools to help get them equipment and get the games out on the NFHS network. So right now, that's really the only one that's available out there, other than if they do Facebook Live or something like that. So each school will be setting up their regular season. We have done all our state championships for a couple of years now through the network.
Well, Mick Hoffman, executive director of the WIAA, is with us on the air. You know, a big question I get from parents out there when they hear you're coming on is, my son or daughter going to have to wear a mask? Is every sport wearing a mask? Is it different from sport to sport? And if so, which sports have to, which sports don't?
Yeah, so right now the guidelines we're under is, the directions from the state are masks at all times.
Okay.
Doesn't cross country, I mean, we are fielding calls like, well, you can probably imagine, but you know, and trying to translate that. Now at the same time, we're bringing all kinds of other information to the table of states that haven't masked in certain situations, studies that are being done about masking. So again, you know, the Department of Health and the governor's office control that decision. And that what happens is, if a school would not follow that recommendation, then they could have some complications with their risk management, third-party liability insurance. And so they're really the schools are told by the risk management groups, you need to follow those state's recommendations. So our part is being the direct conduit to the state and talking through these things as they are challenging, you know, every other aspect of the state impacted by COVID. So, you know, they're not dealing just with high school sports. So we're trying to be the squeaky wheel as much as we can without overstepping. But at the same time, you know, there are certain things that we need to get done.
Mick, what does your gut tell you on the higher risk indoor sports like volleyball and basketball set for your season 2 and 3?
Yeah, so right now volleyball is good to go in phase 2. So you get to phase 2, volleyball as normal. Perfect. Basketball, wrestling, cheer and dance, we don't even know what our target is for that yet as far as a phase 3 per se benchmark. What we're being told is that they're monitoring this. If the vaccinations get out, if the numbers continue to go down, which they are because people are doing their job out in the community, that it is possible. So that's why our board pushed it to a May and June, is it gives us the best opportunity for everything to align to play. And then what could be interesting is if they're played outdoors, they're the same as volleyball in phase 2. So you can do wrestling, cheer and dance, and basketball outdoors in phase 2. So that could bring up some interesting scenarios come May and June.
How would you play basketball outdoors? Are we talking just on asphalt at like playgrounds outside the
Green
gymnasiums?
Green Lake Park, baby.
I mean, honestly, because all these schools, obviously most of them have, you know, hoops outside on, you know, asphalt surfaces that they use for, you know, I guess recesses at elementary schools and places like that. I mean, is that what you're actually talking about?
Well, right now we're just trying to find a way to do anything. Maybe it's a 3-on-3. You know, who knows what. Because, again, it would be up to the kids if they want to join it or not. But, you know, we just want to provide opportunity. And we got to live within the restrictions we're being given as we push on them.
Yeah.
And if we can make it happen, we're going to make it happen. Ideally, transmission rates are down. The other pieces by that time of year, hopefully we'll have doors open and air blowing through. So similar to how restaurants and open airs have more latitude,
yep.
Maybe we can do the same thing with gyms and other facilities come May and June, and, you know, it'd be great. I'd love to be at a basketball game and people complaining it's too hot in the gym. I mean, that would be, at this point, that'd be a win.
No, it'd be phenomenal. Mick Hoffman, again, executive director of the WIAA. When's the first football game scheduled for right now?
Potentially they could play a week from Friday.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Mick, when I sent that tweet out about being excited to go to games, I got a response that I thought was interesting that I hadn't really thought about, but I'm sure some people are thinking about this. Why are kids playing if they can't go to school? Like, why is it yeah. safe enough that they're playing sports and yet it's not safe enough to go into a socially distanced classroom?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. I'll tell you, our superintendents really struggled with that for a long time. One is most of our events are outdoors, and evidence is really showing outdoors way safer than indoors. So that's one. But we do have indoor activities. The other piece is that if all of a sudden you need to shut it down, it's really easy to pivot and shut down sports. It's really difficult to shut down the whole school system with yeah. transportation, nutrition services, all the employees working in the school.
Yeah.
In addition, you're talking hundreds potentially of kids in the school at one time. With sports, you only have, you know, a few dozen, similar to what they're doing with hybrid right now. You know, there's probably more kids in the school with the hybrid learning or special needs and the other kids they're servicing as opposed to what we would have for sports. So it's a fair question. It's a good question. That's the best answer we have right now.
Well, it'd be great to see football a week from Friday. What's the plan for the state tournament for football as of right now?
Yeah, right now with the limitations we have, most schools are deciding, or most leagues will have some type of league championship at this point. You know, we worked for a long time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm with our State Coach Association trying to come up with something creative that would fit within the rules. And the problem with the state tournament is with the DOH regions being in different phases, you never know who could play who, when. So yeah. ADs have really concentrated on scheduling within those regions. So traditional leagues have broken up for this year. They're playing multi-classification leagues. So, you know, I think there'll be a lot of interest in more geographical-based games.
Right.
But as far as that statewide competition, at this point, it's really not realistic. You know, we would do it even without fans in the stands just to give kids a chance to compete for that.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it doesn't look like, you know, by March, we'll be in a position where we can expect travel around the state.
Well, I know we have to run, Mick, but, I mean, how flexible are you? I mean, let's say, for example, you get to a point later in the year where one region's good to go and they want to play the champion of a different league and just schedule a game. Can they do that?
Yeah, we've offered up postseason, and originally what we did, we developed three WI regions and said we'll run a postseason event in each one of those, a Final Four type setup, and crown them. We'll have three state two-way football championships. We don't care. Like, let's give kids a chance to compete excellence.
Awesome.
And with DOH regions, the way they dissect ours, it just made it way more complicated.
Yeah, I think if Kinko wants to play the NPSL and they're both clear to go and they want to just schedule something, have at it.
Maybe
go do
champion.
It. Yeah, why not? Why not? All right, Mick, listen, great stuff.
Absolutely.
keep up the good work. Let's knock on wood. We're getting close to seeing this thing get back out there going again. So great job so far, man. I know it's been a pain in the butt, but we appreciate you doing this, man. Thanks, pal.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Mick Hoffman with us. We'll talk more about that for sure.
Yes.
Between now and 7 o'clock, because that's I appreciate their willingness to be flexible and to try everything, no matter how wacky it sounds. We're going to break. Walter Jones is going to come by, say hello next on 950K.
To my fellow Hall of Famers, I'm so honored to wear this gold jacket. I wear it with pride, and I promise to respect all it represents. As long as I live.
It's time to talk to NFL Hall of Famer Walter Jones. Brought to you by Skagit's Best Salsa Company. Crafted gourmet fresh cilantro salsa with quality ingredients for more than 10 years. And by Real Steel. Find yours. Visit your local steel dealer today. Now, Walter Jones on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJO.
A little bit of love for our friends at Skagit's Best Salsa. We're going to hear some highlights from Super Bowl 48, which was 7 years ago today, courtesy of Kevin Harlan, who will join us tomorrow on the radio show. I believe he's doing Radio Row in Tampa. I'm not sure if he's doing
like
it in person.
Mini Radio Row?
Yeah, I guess there's 35 stations there as we speak right now.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll talk to Kevin about all that tomorrow.
That's Florida.
On the program. But joining us right now on the show, our friend, our buddy, Walter Jones. Walter, thanks for the invite to watch the game at your house. Dick and I will be there.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good, man. Hey, you know what? Let me ask you about this, because the Buccaneers are playing in their home stadium. I believe that they're going to be allowed to use their own locker room for the game as well on Sunday. How big of an advantage do you really believe that's going to be when this game kicks off?
That's big. You know what I'm saying? You get a chance to you get a chance to practice in your own facility. Then you get a chance when you go to the game. You're going to your own stuff that you used to, the training room, the showers, everything that you've been using all season. Now you get the chance to do that on the biggest stage. So I think that's going to be a big advantage for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
How about the advantage for KC on the flip side of they went home game, whereas Tampa went road game, road game, road game. Very few teams get to the Super Bowl winning three straight road games. How much of an advantage for the Chiefs is that?
It's an advantage, but I think this is going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be one of those games. It's going to be overhyped, I think, a little bit. But you got two of probably the top quarterbacks not playing in this game. So for Kansas City, you know, they've been there, so they understand it. So it's going to be a lot easier this year because now they don't have to deal with the stuff that you do the week of the Super Bowl with media and all that stuff is doing. They're doing that at home, and they're not coming down to like 24 hours before the game. So they've got to feel good for those guys too, so they don't have to deal with all that stuff that goes on the week of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wonder how much of this will change things down the road. I mean, they'll bring back media day, things like that, but all the events and the travel and all that, I wonder what will come out of this when it's all said and done. But Walter Jones is with us, and you obviously never got a chance to get back to a Super Bowl after 2005. We all wish that you would have gotten that second shot. But if you had gotten that second shot, how much easier would things have been for you the second time around? Meaning Kansas City was just there a year ago, right? Now they're coming back for a second consecutive year. How much easier would things have been for you if you could have gone back for a second time?
I think it'd be pretty easy for those guys because most of the time, you know, your first year you have a ticket list.
Yep.
And so if you go back to back, that list probably ain't going to change over that year. So you kind of got that taken care of. So now once you make it, you got that list already to take care of, so you don't have to deal with all that stuff about who's going to come, who's going to be there. Majority of the time, if you got on the list the first year, as a family member, you're assuming that you're going to get on the list again the next year. So you just have to make sure you be nice to that player that list you was on. So, but I think it's going to be fun for those guys because they don't have to deal with all that stuff that they deal with. I bet the coaches definitely love the fact that they don't have to deal with all the extra stuff that goes with it.
So you're telling me that the biggest distraction – in a lot of ways for you, was figuring out who got to go to the game and who didn't.
Yeah, that was a major, because now when you lay that down, you know how many tickets you get. Now you got all your family members and friends, everybody assuming they're going to get a ticket.
Yep.
And then you have to be straight up with them and tell them, hey, this is the only amount of tickets I got, and they're already accounted for. They almost accounted for it before they even get in your hand. So, yeah, that could be a major distraction trying to figure out, and that distraction doesn't stop until the night before the game.
Wow.
Eric Fisher's no Walter Jones, but he's a pretty damn good left tackle, and Kansas City's not going to have him. Is that going to be a game planning situation, or do you just say, you know what, we're going to do things like we do things, and the backup's just going to have to come in and do his job?
I think that's the approach you have to take. You know, you're getting a chance to have a guy in there for 2 weeks of practice, so you got to feel good with him going into the game. And I think throughout practice, you have to wait and see how they're going to, you know, if he start having problems or the quarterback is being rushed, maybe you start chipping block. You do all that stuff in practice to make sure that if we have to go that route where you got a running back or a tight end chip blocker for you, but I'm hoping that you're going to feel pretty good with your guy that's the backup, because you get 2 weeks of practice. So you can kind of feel pretty comfortable going into the game with 2 weeks of practice.
So we saw these two teams play earlier this year, obviously, in Tampa, in this stadium. 27-24 win for Kansas City, but it was 27-10 going into the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs piled up 543 yards of offense in that game. How much does that game really matter when trying to handicap what's going to happen on Sunday?
I honestly don't think. I think the only thing you can take away from that game is that you know that Tom Brady is not going to stop. So there's not a lead that you probably feel safe with. You know, you already see with Kansas City what they do. You know, they get behind in a lot of games and come back and win the game. So you can't feel comfortable with a 2 or 3 touchdown lead, because these guys can strike fast, and you know Tom's going to continually keep coming at you. So I think it's going to be a game where if you're going to beat these guys outright, you're going to have to beat them.
What's the thing you're most intrigued with, whether it's a matchup or what have you, thing that you're really going to keep your eye on Sunday afternoon?
I think the quarterback play is going to be the talk the whole game. So you're looking forward to seeing how that's going to turn out. Is Tom Brady going to be Tom Brady, or this going to be the game where, you know, people are going to say things about Tom Brady, but I think Tom Brady's going to come out the way he's played in the playoffs. You know, you can't give up 3 picks in a game. I think it won't happen in the Super Bowl, but you never know. But, you know, I think it's going to be all about the quarterback play and seeing what they're doing throughout this game.
I want to switch gears to the Hawks a little bit, but you want to make a prediction for the game on Sunday? I mean, Dick and I both have, you know, a couple grand we want to throw on the game. Dick's got his college education for his
couple
son.
Grand.
Yeah, maybe 25. If you were going to put 2,500 bucks, you know what? The hell with it. You made money. Let's make it 25 G's. If you're putting 25 grand on one team, who are you betting on?
Me personally, I like the situation that Tom Brady is in. So, you know, this guy have went on the road with a team that, you know, even though his first year didn't get the training, you know, everything is a cause of the COVID, you know what I'm saying, to able to get this team to the point where they could be playing for a championship in the first year. I think that's pretty amazing, and you have to ride that to the end. So I'm going with Tom Brady. I think the game might not be looking as good throughout the whole game, but I got a feeling that Tom's going to find a way to get this win. And I think we all know that fact about Tom Brady, that he's going to, when it's time to get the wins, he get those wins. So I'm going probably 28-24, Tampa Bay.
Okay, well, you're getting 3 points on top of that. So Walt likes the Bucks not just cover but win outright.
All right, Walt. All right. I don't see Kansas City scoring only 24 points, but maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. All right, we got a new offensive coordinator, Walt. What's your take on Shane Waldron and coming from the Rams?
You know what? You kind of try to go back and think about what the Rams was doing and stuff. You kind of liked what they was doing offensively, but I think right now it's just a way to see what happens. You know, I think a lot of pressure going to be on him, on the quarterbacks, and hopefully that this offense can, you know, I felt like what Russell and Schottenheimer had, I thought they was kind of figuring out each other what they want to do. So it's just going to see on the type of game plan they're going to have for Russell. So for right now, for me, it's just a way to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. He says they want to be balanced. 2020, they were 58-42% pass. 58 pass, 42 run. When they won the Super Bowl, Walt, in 2013, they were 55-45 run. It was the exact opposite. So is it easy to say, hey, let's just get that closer to 50-50? You want to run the ball more than you throw it? What does it mean when an OC says we want to be balanced to you?
You know what? I think it's all about trying to see what your personnel is. I think every year your personnel changes. So I think that year where we was running the ball, our personnel was built on. So I think if you're going to build on this balance thing, you know, you're saying, like, I think in this league, it's all about throwing the ball around the field. You know, you see the teams that can run the ball well, they're at home. So that's not – I don't know if that's a true statement of making sure we run the ball. So I think it's all about your personnel and what your personnel can do. And I think Russell is at his prime. If it's not about Russell and what Russell can do for the
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This team, you know, I think we're going to be sitting there having the same conversation again next year. So I think it's all about we want to see the full potential of Russell Wilson, even though, you know, Russell has done some great things since he's been here in Seattle. But I think it's time, like you said, he started the season as being an MVP caliber player. So you want to see that continue throughout the whole season where you feel good that he can win that award.
Yeah, the three times the Seahawks have been to the Super Bowl, they've been ranked 28th, 31st, and 32nd in passing frequency. They were definitely all running attacks. And is the pendulum kind of swinging too far in your mind in the NFL to the pass? I mean, sometimes to me it looks like the CFL right now.
I think this league is a copycat league, and I think what Mahomes is doing, you know, you follow the team, you copy off the team that are winning. So right now, that's what winning football games is, putting your quarterback in the shotgun and letting them pick apart the defense. So I think that's the way that the league is going. It might go back to putting your hands in the dirt and running the football, but right now it's all about scoring touchdowns and putting points on the board.
Real quick, give us your take on Jared Goff, Matt Stafford. Goff is gone in Detroit. Matt Stafford's now the starting quarterback of the Rams. What do you make of that?
I think the Rams are trying to win it right now. I think it's good for the division. I think I enjoy that part because I can remember a couple of years ago where they were saying that this division is the worst division. For the last couple of years, this division has been right there, or I had a team right there to win it all. So I think it's good for the division. And I think with golf, I think sometimes you feel like, you know, you need a new look. So I think it's good for him too. He can go somewhere where that defense in Chicago is not that bad. So, you know, if he go there and play halfway decent, he still might be the guy that they might have to beat to get to the Super Bowl. So you never know.
I love it. Walter Jones, great stuff. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Just text me your address, and we'll be there about 3 o'clock. All right, pal?
I'll bring the beer, Walt. It's all right.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
See you, buddy. Walter Jones.
He's like, get out of here, man.
I think the problem is he's going to hang up the phone thinking, are those guys really coming over?
Like,
there's a chance they might be coming by the plate. I think he might be in Alabama, so we're not going to Alabama. I can tell you that right now. But I wonder if people are rooting for Kansas City just because of the prospect of then having the possibility of a team winning 3 in a row for the first time ever. If they win this game on Sunday, the Chiefs do. We're going to hear all that hype next year, all over the offseason. Kansas City looking to become the first team ever because the Patriots had a shot. They won it in 04 and 05. Was it 03 and 04? 03, 04 because they beat Carolina and beat Philadelphia. And then they lost and the Steelers went. So that's the last time you've had that. Elway had a chance, but he retired after they won the second one. I think it's great for the league, man. If Kansas City wins this thing on Sunday, all the hype of a young Patrick Mahomes in the final year of his deal before things get crazy cap-wise to be the team that could win 3 straight championships, I think that hype and that storyline is awesome for the NFL.
Dynasties always work. People hate them, but they always work for interest and ratings. Always, always, always.
So
I totally agree with you. I agree with Walt, too, when he said, like, hey, it's a copycat league. You know, we put our quarterback in shotgun and throw it all around. Well, yeah, when you've got Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce, how many other teams have got Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce to do it? It doesn't work exactly for all 32 teams.
Yeah, but remember what Randy Mueller said when he came on the air with us, what they're looking for, speed at running back and a tight end. I mean, you just described everything that they've got, right? I mean, they want more speed. They want a big target at tight end.
Yep.
So it's the blueprint for Kansas City. I mean, yeah, it's hard to get those guys for sure. I mean, not like the Seahawks could have drafted Travis Kelce or anything. I mean, they just took Christian Michael the pick before, for crying out loud. Oh, but I think it's great if they win. I think that story for the NFL would be awesome. But Mick Hoffman was on with us, and, dude, how about that? We're a week away from seeing a high school football game. I remember when this whole thing came down, the first college game of the year was Butthead State versus Smackface University. What the hell game was that?
It was
that?
Like an ESPN2 game. Yes. It was like two MAC teams or something.
I watched the whole thing. Watched all of it. Whoever is in charge over at Root Sports. What does Root Sports have going on right now? They got nothing, right? Nothing. Put the game on TV. The next weekend, whatever that first game is, or if there's a bunch of games that night, you pick the closest one to their office in Bellevue.
They should absolutely.
Put the freaking thing on TV next Friday, and I'm watching it, and so are you.
Right, I'm absolutely watching it. And you know, I think Mick's doing a great job. I mean, what a terrible, terrible situation this guy got thrust into.
It's the first year, right?
2 months. Yeah, 2 months before COVID started. Okay, here's your job.
Yeah.
Go have fun.
Yeah, good luck.
good luck organizing this. But the one thing that he said that just disappointed me, and it's not Mick's fault, the 25% rule, which includes the number of players. So it's 200 people, but that includes the number of players, does not make any sense. If you want to keep it to 200 fans, cool. But they're, like you said, there's like 125 players plus personnel, coaches, and trainers on the field, which means only 75 people can go to the football game.
Well, listen, I'm not a smart man, okay? I'm not, you know, an expert in this category, but I think we have to kind of start getting real here with this stuff, that one of the reasons why it's good to have people out of their house, because if they're not, they're congregating indoors.
That's exactly
end of story. So the less people you let out to go do something, the more opportunity they're going to have to get together inside where the virus can spread.
Yes.
And I just think that there are things that come up with this fight and this battle that make sense. There's things that don't make sense. Nothing has to be perfect. I get it. There's no playbook for this. It's the first time any of us have gone through this. People are going to make mistakes, but I think what we have learned is, especially during the winter and the fall, it's better for people to be outside. So if we can say, hey, 65, 70 people of a community that's fairly small to begin with, get them out. Put them in the stands. Separate them. You know, count on them. Count on them to be able to keep themselves separate. Put them in different pockets of the stadium. Let them stand on the track, for God's sakes, 50, you know, 25, 30 yards away from the field. So I totally agree. Nobody's asking for 20,000 people. Nobody's asking for 70,000 seat stadiums to be filled with people. But we are asking to be able to give us another option besides staying at home and spreading the virus behind closed doors. So I'm totally with you. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Why they would not want to have, hey, you know what? Come on down to Saltwater State Park, but don't go out to a high school football game with 300 people there.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, you've been to Saltwater.
I was there this weekend, Dave.
It's packed.
There was like 100 people in a way smaller area than a football stadium.
All right, let's get a break.
You asked me a question about that again. I'm walking out of here.
7 years ago tonight, Kevin Harlan had the greatest call of his life. We're going to listen next on 950.
Eagle Creek Casino Resort.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your exclusive home of Super Bowl 55. Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Well,
KJR.
7 years ago tonight when the greatest accomplishment in the history of Seattle sports, except for Dick Fain going 9-for-9 from 3 from Mount Rainier as a senior back in the day.
It's a good night.
That's up there, but maybe the second greatest moment then in the history of our sports town. Seahawks going to New Jersey, MetLife Stadium, winning the Super Bowl 43-8. I'd like to revisit some calls from that game. It's probably been a while since you've heard the voice of Kevin Harlan call that game and those important plays for the Seahawks. I'd like to play in the process a game of was it over when? And we'll start with this play. Was it over when the Seahawks secured a safety on the very first play of the game?
And was in the shotgun from his own 14-yard line, moving left to right. Oh, they snapped the ball. Manning was going to say something. The ball bounces into the end zone. It bounces out of the end zone. A flag was thrown. And they rule a safety, but a flag is down at the 7.
In motion. Offense number 18 moving forward to the snap. Penalties declined. Safety.
That's the 9th safety in Super Bowl history. The previous one was last year.
If it was not over then, was it over when Malcolm Smith took Peyton Manning back to the house?
Shotgun snap. Manning grips it. He's hit. The ball flutters. It's intercepted. Another interception. It's Malcolm Smith, who's the linebacker, from the 50 to the 40 down the sideline. The 30 gets a block at the 20, cuts inside the 10, the 5. He returns it for a touchdown. The ball was deflected. It fluttered in the air, and the linebacker Malcolm Smith got it and races downfield from the sideline to the middle of the field. He returns it 68 yards, and Seattle has picked off Manning for a second time. They lead 21-0.
If it was not over then, if you did not believe it was over at 22-0 after the PAT by Steven Hauschka, did you believe it was over after the first play of the second half?
Harvin was back. It lands in front of him at the 11. Gets it on a bounce. He goes to the 15. Breaks a tackle. 20 comes up the middle of the 30. Breaks another tackle. The 40. He makes a move by the kicker. He's down from the 50 to the 40. It's a foot race to the 30 down the near side. The 20, the 10, the 5, and it's a touchdown! Percy Harvin has just returned the opening kickoff of the second half. 88 yards! And Seattle's lead has gone to 28-0.
If you are a skeptical son of a bitch like me, and you just did not allow yourself to believe yet at 29-0 that the game was over, then maybe, Dick and Jackson, just maybe, you allowed yourself to believe after this happened.
On the 23 of Denver, first and 10, 5 wide, shotgun snap, quick throw, in the numbers, a lunging two-handed glove catch made by the wide receiver Kirst, breaking tackle to the 15, the 10, the 5. He runs in for a touchdown. He was like a pinball banging off bodies. A 23-yard catch and run. Touchdown, and Seattle has just slammed the door on the Denver Broncos. 35-0 late third quarter in Super Bowl 48.
I don't think anybody actually wants me to prove this to be true. I mean, I could if you'd like me to, but believe me when I say, every hair on my body, no matter where it is, is standing straight up right now after hearing all four of those calls. Wow, it's been a while, Dick, since we've heard those calls from Kevin Harlan. When did we all believe? Let's go around the room. Got about a minute and a half left here. When did we believe? When did you start to believe that this was actually going to go our way?
Well, those are two different questions. Believing it was over, it wasn't until the Harvin kick return, because I spent all of halftime cooking burgers outside or whatever I was cooking on the phone with my godfather. Not the godfather, but with my godfather, who's a lifetime Bronco fan, who was just so sad saying it's over, it's over. And I kept telling him, no, man, you get the ball, you get a touchdown, you're good to go. So I knew it wasn't over at halftime, but the Harvin return did it.
Harvin put the nail in the coffin for you.
100% Harvin. I hugged my dad and cried in his arms in one of the greatest moments of my entire life. It was Harvin.
Okay, for me, it was Jermaine Kearse, 36-0.
29-0 didn't do it for you with the best defense in history.
Because there were 30 minutes left to go in the game. I just thought to myself, you know what, son of a dude.
You are a cynical son of a dude.
We're going to be the mother effer that blow a 29-point lead. There's just too much time, right? I mean, there was 29 minutes and 48 seconds left to go, and they still had and hadn't had a chance to even show whatever halftime adjustments they'd made. Yeah. The number one offense in the history of the NFL. But 36-0, 18 minutes left to go in the game. I was with my wife and some friends. That's when I picked up the phone, and that's when I called Dad from the stands at the stadium and started bawling like a baby. It's over. We finally got one. So 7 years ago tonight, I don't know if we're allowed to put those on the website or not. If we can, great. If not, whatever. But great calls from Kevin Harlan. He'll join us tomorrow on the radio show, and we'll certainly ask about that. Gary Myers, longtime sports journalist, talking about this game coming up.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on Safi and Nick on a Tuesday night, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
How about some NBA basketball action? Because you know it's fantastic. Are they still using that theme, or is that like from the 80s?
I wish they did. It was good.
Ahmad Rashad. All those,
Hall.
Oh, yeah. Raptors are getting 46 from Fred VanVleet And they lead the Magic 101-89 mid-fourth quarter from Orlando. Clippers lead the Nets 58-57 at halftime. Pacers up on the Grizz 60-45 late second quarter. And the Blazers lead the Wiz 63-54. Gary Trent Jr. 16 so far late second quarter in that game.
Good college basketball games going. Eighth-ranked Iowa leading Michigan State 73-68 second half there. Number 17, West Virginia up by two on Iowa State with 14 seconds left, 74-72. And how about undefeated Baylor? They blast Texas in Austin 83-69 over the sixth-ranked Longhorns.
Wow, really?
You don't say.
Joining us right now on the radio show, ahead of the game on Sunday, before Super Bowl 55. Got a book, Brady versus Manning, a podcast for iHeartRadio, Gary Myers. And Gary, Dick asked me if this was Tom Brady's greatest accomplishment, getting the Buccaneers to this game. What do you think about that?
I think I would answer it this way. I think I'd put it number two. And number one would be getting to it the first time in 2001, just his second year in the league. He threw three passes as a rookie, came in when Drew Bledsoe got hurt very early in that season, and was pretty much a game manager the rest of the year. There was some controversy when Drew was ready to play, you know, would Belichick stick with Brady? He did, and then leads that game-winning drive in the Super Bowl. If you remember, John Madden was saying the Patriots should sit on the ball and play for overtime, and Brady takes him right down the field. And gets Vinatieri kicked a field goal. I just think, considering, you know, who he was at that point with no track record in the NFL, to win a Super Bowl with a team that was 0-2 when he took over, I think that was his greatest accomplishment. I would put this year number two because, although he joined a very, very talented team, they just didn't have a winning culture there. And everybody looked at the Bucs as a bunch of losers. And in a four-month period of time, he just totally changed everything there. I mean, it's just tremendous. And at the age of 43, you can almost flip a coin which one is one and which is two. But I think those are his two greatest.
His legacy has always been tied alongside Bill Belichick. So how much is what he did this year and what Bill Belichick didn't do in New England this year helping Tom's legacy kind of separate himself?
Yeah, you know, I've suggested to some people that, you know, they're selling a lot of those cardboard cutouts to put in the stands in Tampa on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're selling them for $100 each and the money's going to charity. I think Belichick should buy up all the seats right behind the Bucs bench with pictures of himself and say, you know, I had something to do with this too. I think it was really predictable going into this season. If one of the two of Belichick or Brady was going to have success, I thought it would be Tom, just because he was going into a situation with a really talented team. I mean, their skill position players is as good as anybody in the league. And they've had a pretty good defense now for a couple of years, where in New England, the biggest surprise to me is that, as Belichick obviously knew that 2019 was going to be Tom's last year in New England, he just didn't have a succession plan in place. He couldn't have been counting on Jared Stidham to be the starter, and then they signed Cam Newton so late in training, I mean in the offseason, in a year that there was no offseason workouts. I'm just, you know, as prepared and as meticulous as Belichick is, I just can't believe he left himself in that situation. What it means as far as their legacies, I think early on Tom needed Belichick more than Belichick needed Tom, perhaps, because Tom, first of all, needed someone to draft him. And for God's sakes, 198 players went ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And so he needed a team, and then Bill helped develop him. But I think, like, the last 15, 16 years in New England, that it was really predominantly – they were successful predominantly because of Brady.
Yeah, long time sports writer Gary Myers, by the way, with us. He's got a book, Brady versus Manning, doing a podcast for iHeart. And you mentioned Belichick there and the cardboard cutouts. The problem with that is that every cutout would have the same expression because there's only one, you know, from the guy. And I wonder, you know, kind of picking up on that, Gary, Dick and I have discussed this as well. Number one, do you believe Bill Belichick will be watching the game on Sunday, and will he be actively, openly rooting for Tom Brady to win the game?
I can answer one of those questions by saying I'm certain he'll be watching the game.
Yeah.
The second part of it, you'd like to think after all they accomplished together, and it wasn't as if Bill wanted Tom to stay. And Tom just, you know, walked out on him. I mean, Bill pushed him out the door. So there really shouldn't be any hard feelings on Belichick's part. I would think the right thing to do, if there's a right and wrong in this, is that he should be rooting for Tom. But it will be a further bad reflection on Belichick if Tom goes and wins the Super Bowl and Belichick is still sitting there having no idea who his quarterback is going to be next year. So, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, certainly I can't answer it definitively. I'd like to think that Belichick realizes how important they were to each other, and now that they're out on their own, you know, Tom has really taken the high road on this. In any discussion about the Patriots or Belichick at the Super Bowl this year, he was very complimentary of Belichick on Monday. So, I mean, again, I'd like to think that Belichick is man enough here to say, you know what, I owe a lot to him. I've got, you know, 6 rings here as a head coach. I might not have had any if it wasn't for this guy that, you know, good for him, let him go on and win the Super Bowl. But I don't know that he's thinking that.
You wrote the book, Brady versus Manning, Brady and Manning, and why is Manning so much more revered than Tom when Tom has had a more successful career?
That is the million-dollar question, or maybe the way salaries are this year in the NFL. That's the $25 million question. I don't know, other than, you know, for the most part, Tom has been so closely associated with Belichick, and nobody outside of New England likes Belichick, you know, because that sour personality that you kind of mentioned there about the look on his face. And the Patriots are considered the evil empire, and they're cheaters because of Spygate and Deflategate. And Tom has won so much, and he's got a supermodel wife, and he's a good-looking guy, and does high-end commercials when he decides to do them. I mean, there's an awful lot for people to hate there if you really want to hate.
Yeah.
In this country, we like to build them up and then knock them down, and I guess Tom has just won too much. I mean, he's a really nice guy. I like him very much. And if he showed the side of him that I've got to see over the years, if he showed that publicly, I think a lot more people would like him. And, you know, I'd say this. I think there's 3 things that have happened in the last few weeks that really should humanize him even more. First of all, his parents were really sick with COVID. And I think your hearts have to go out to anybody that you know has COVID. And his parents are in their 70s, and they really struggled through it. His father was in the hospital for 18 days. And I know how concerned Tom was being on the other side of the country. So that's one thing. Secondly, I mean, it was so cute the way he was playing catch with Drew Brees' son on the field of the Superdome after the Bucs beat the Saints in the divisional round. And then last week, you know, right after the game, he goes to the side of the stands. His son is there at Lambeau. You can hear him asking the security guard, "Can I say hi to my son?" And, you know, he's hugging him. His son is telling him, "I love you. I'm proud of you, Dad." I mean, I just think as a parent, and this guy has 3 kids, you know, who all played, you know, youth sports. My son pitched on his high school team. I mean, what mother or father can't relate to, you know, a father hugging their kid, a son or a daughter, in this case, after the father's athletic event, it's usually after the kids. But that was such a relatable moment there that I think even the people who dislike Tom should look at him and say, you know, he is just a regular guy that goes through a lot of the same things that regular people do.
The problem is a lot of the haters, as they like to say out there, will see that stuff and say, oh, he's just putting on a show for people. It's not sincere.
Now it comes to his family.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Genuinely,
I agree with that. I think it's nonsense. But people will criticize, and as you said, they'll find ways to hate no matter what happens. Hey, Gary Myers, listen, man, great stuff. Appreciate this. Enjoy the game this weekend, and best of luck with the snowstorm out there in New York, and we'll talk down the road. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. But I can just mention the name of the podcast is The Goat Tom Brady. For anybody who'd like to try to find it, you can get it on iHeart or wherever you get your podcasts.
You got it, man. Beautiful. Great stuff. Thank you, and stay safe out there, okay?
Thank you very much. You as well.
You bet. Gary Myers with us. We're going to break. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, will join the radio show, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. Coming up on 950 K.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.